Well, the Great Canadian Road Trip rolling through Saskatchewan this month. A couple of stops, North Battleford on the 27th and PA on the 28th. And joining us now is one half of Doc Walker. It's Chris. And Chris, thanks for having a chat with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you and Dave, you guys were what, friends growing up in a small little map dot called Westburn, Manitoba?
Yeah. Well, Dave was actually from the big city. He was from Portage la Prairie, so, in a town of 12,000 people, so that was the city. But, you know, well, it's his older sister and my older sister went to school together, and they also, Murray Pulver was in their class, too. So that's sort of where the Murray Pulver aspect of Doc Walker comes, because, like, when he got out of high school, he was sort of like the god guitar player of Portage, and... But, you know, when he got out of high school, he played with a bunch of great bands and ended up going on the road with with the Crash Test Dummies in their heyday. So it was a good big time for him. But then when he kind of finished that up, we asked if he wanted to join the band, and he agreed, which was a great time for Doc Walker. And we still do a lot of writing and a lot of recording with Murray. So it's a very Portage la Prairie-based band, I guess you can say.
So how did you guys graduate from playing, you know, Portage to getting noticed and launching your career?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, in Manitoba we have the socials, right, the wedding socials. We played a lot of those, a lot of Legions. And then, you know, earlier on in our career when we were early 20s, you know, Dave and I basically got a cover band together, and which was Doc Walker, and traveled from coast to coast in a van playing bars. And, you know, those were pretty special days. We hated it at the time, right, because you're playing six nights a week. But, you know, now that those days are kind of over for everybody, it just kind of makes me sad that, you know, a lot of these young artists now, there's really nowhere for them to play other than coffee shops or YouTube. Because, you know, in the days before Facebook and cell phones, I mean, for a bunch of 20-year-olds to jump in a van and just go play country bars across Canada, I mean... I always swore I'd never do it again, but now that I'm in my late 40s, I'm like, oh, if I could go back and do that again without having a cell phone tied to you. It was a pretty good time. But, you know, we did that for a lot of years, and we always loved writing, which was the main thing with us. I think if we didn't write, we wouldn't be where we are. But, you know, Dave and I always loved to create music and create new songs, and then we hooked up with Ron Kitchener, who was Jason McCoy's manager at the time. So it's funny how now that we're on tour with Jason, everything's kind of full circle. But and then we started doing some records, and that's sort of how it took off.
Well, so what would you say, you know, you're talking about playing Legions and Bingo Halls.
Yeah.
Do you remember
yeah.
what your first sort of, you know, big gig that you guys went, hey, we're on our way now?
Well, I mean... It's so many stages, right? Like, there's so many shows we thought we were on our way, and then we ended up in bars for another 6 months, and then we thought we had our break, and then, you know, the band broke up for 2 months. And so it's there's never really been a pinnacle moment, I guess, that, you know, like, you can even go back to the 2008 CCMA Awards when we, you know, we got Fans Choice, we got Group of the Year, I think we got 7 or 8 awards that year. We didn't really sit at the end of the night and go, okay, we made it. We were like, okay, we're going right on tour after this, and let's, you know, let's get into another record and let's do this. So it was never we've never really stopped and said, hey, you know, we've made it. Even today, we're still talking about what we're going to record and where we're going to tour.
Well, you guys have opened for some pretty impressive artists over the years. I thought I read somewhere like Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, it was that's weird. We play a lot of weird rock shows, and I think it's because Doc Walker's more of a Eagles-style band, right? Country rock kind of thing. But, yeah, it was in Edmonton, I believe, and it was a bunch of rock acts, and we were on quite early. There was us and then three other acts, and then Bon Jovi. We were sort of the music as people were coming and getting their seats in the arena. But, you know, it really shocked me because Rocket Girl was quite... I think we were actually under our third single, so Rocket Girl had already been a bigger hit. But, you know, you're playing Bon Jovi. I didn't expect anybody to know who we were. I thought we were like elevator music as people came in, and we started playing Rocket Girl, and everybody starts like screaming and yelling and singing the lyrics in the arena, and I'm like, that's when I really kind of started to see music sort of melding together. Like, you know, now it's all about playlists. You know, my son's 17. It's not like he's a country or a rock guy. Like, his playlist has, you know, Judas Priest, AC/DC to Snoop Dogg to Randy Travis. It blows me away. But I think that's when, you know, you see a lot of Bon Jovi fans were Doc Walker fans, and then we did a tour out east with the Trues for some shows, which was a lot of fun, and it's amazing how close our fan bases are. I think the craziest one that we ever did was up north in BC. It was Chilliwack, Doc Walker, and Loverboy. And I thought they had the poster wrong. I thought it would be Doc Walker, Chilliwack, and Loverboy. But no, it was Chilliwack, Doc Walker, and Loverboy. It was that was a pretty cool night.
I know talking with a lot of bands over the years, you know, being on tour is something they say, you know, they absolutely love, but they absolutely hate it too. How have you guys been able to balance, you know, road work and, you know, life on the road with your life at home?
Our wives are happier when we're on the road. You know, like, when we're home, we're home. You know, we did tour a lot in the bars, but, you know, once you get, you know, playing more tours and summer festivals and stuff, you actually have fewer dates than you did when you were trying to make it. So, you know, we just love being on the road. We were just talking about that in Cuba. Like, I mean, we're always trying to find ways to tour and to get out and play for the fans, because that's what we've spent 30 years trying to build. So we feel most at home on the road, and our wives get us out of their hair for a while, so they're pretty happy with that.
Well, you and Dave have been together for a long time. I mean, not many bands, let alone duos, stay together half that long. How have you managed not to kill each other?
Oh, well, we do now and then. I mean, it's more of a brother kind of relationship. Like, we've been playing in bands since we were 12. So, yeah, there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of respect, though, between the two of us. And I think that's what's kept us together for so long is, you know, I'm the country guy, and he's more of the, well, he used to be more of the rock guy, but now he's actually into more of the cool country than I am. But, you know, just I think with the writing and the recording and the respect that we have for each other, right, it kind of keeps the relationship going. You know, we can just sort of tell each other exactly what's on our mind. We don't really hold anything back, and then nothing really gets pent up, right? It's just sort of out there in the open.
Well, you guys are doing really good right now. What's been the best part of success?
Definitely the fans. You know, and I know a lot of artists say that, but you got to remember that the reason we picked up a guitar in the first place was to perform. You know, a lot of people kind of go, "Oh, what's it like when people recognize you as a body?" It's like, well, no, that's, you know, it's like if you're a welder and somebody comes up and says, "Hey, that's a hell of a job you did on that rig or on that car or on that, you know, building that trailer." You're happy, right? That's what we do. We perform and we love music and we love playing it for the fans and seeing their reaction and that's basically the payoff for us.
You guys ever get back to Westburn, have family there? Like, where are you guys living these days?
Oh, I still live in Westburn. I didn't move far. I don't really want to live anywhere else. I mean, we're sort of right in the middle of Canada. I live pretty close to Lake Manitoba. I ended up buying some lake property farther up north and subdividing some of it. And I have a campground up there that I started, seasonal beachfront campground. So I don't really have to be there all the time because it's seasonal, but, you know, I'll spend Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday cutting grass and having a few beers with everybody, and then I take off on the weekend and go play and then come back Sunday and clean up the mess. So it's, for me, it's a pretty good deal.
So, like, when you guys aren't on tour, you're not recording, writing, you've got Chris time, what do you like to do?
I usually just get in the shop and work on cars. I got a couple here I'm working on, a 87 Trans Am I'm trying to get ready for my kids' graduation, so I'll fix that up and then let him take it and then fix it after he's done with it. So,
well, if we opened your playlist on your phone, you were talking about what your kids are listening to. What kind of stuff are you really digging these days?
You know, it's funny. I'm such a huge fan of music, but I rarely, rarely listen to music. I think because I love music so much that when I'm creating it or we're recording, I mean, when I'm, like, not in the mindset of playing or recording, I either listen to talk radio or I'll put a movie on and listen to it, because I seem to analyze music so much. Like Dave, he can put his ear pods in and go to sleep, and I'm like, I just lay there and, like, literally listen to everything and analyze it. So I can't listen to music because my brain just sort of explodes.
Yeah, I know that, you know, songs are kind of like your kids, but do you have like a favorite song that you wrote or were part of that you guys recorded, if you had to pick one?
I think there's sort of a group of them, like as far as Doc Walker and the Sound. I mean, I love Beautiful Life and Rocket Girl. Those are, Beautiful Life is sort of one of my favorites because, you know, unfortunately my mom passed away in 2007, and that was sort of the last song that she ever heard Dave and I write. And, she loved writing and singing herself too. So yeah, whenever I'd show her a song, she would like point out what was wrong or what she thought was wrong with it. And it would just drive me crazy. But, you know, that one she listened to and she was like, wow, that's really good. And I'm like, and what? And she goes, no, it's just, it's really good. So for me, that one is pretty special to me. But I think as far as the band, songs like Driving at the Brakes On and That Train, you know, the songs that sort of get to the heart of the matter are the ones with the meat and the bones. So those, for me, they make a difference in people's lives, like Rocket Girl. Any song that can kind of help somebody get through something or make somebody feel better or actually make somebody think of something that, you know, reminds them of something bad, but yet there was a good turnout, you know. That's sort of what I'm looking at.
So you and Jason and Michelle, you guys are on the road, the Great Canadian Road Trip. Are you guys all jammed in like an old 74 Greyhound bus with no heat, eating gas station sandwiches?
Yeah. Well, no, we've been in buses that are breaking down. it's just life on the road. We were in the middle of Alberta, and we blew a drive shaft in the bus. So me and the bus driver are walking down the highway looking for drive shaft parts to get somebody to hopefully get a new one or weld it together and get us to the next stop. But just traveling with them, they're so seasoned and they're so, like, I mean, they're in the Hall of Fame. You can't really, you can't go wrong getting on a bus with two Hall of Famers.
So, you know, speaking of that, I mean, you know, yeah, like you said, Michelle, Jason, Hall of Famers, you guys certainly very accomplished, winning awards, that type of thing. How do you guys decide, like, kind of who goes on stage first and opens the show and who wraps it up? Is there any rivalry or anything like that?
Nothing. And that's, you know, we're on stage together the whole time. There's really never been any, you know, who goes on, who's got a bigger picture on the poster and who goes on first and last. And Jay and I were sitting having lunch one time, and he was just sort of commenting on how relaxing and how amazing this tour has been in that sense, because we're on stage together the whole time. You know, it's not like Michelle goes on and we go on and he goes. We all walk up together and we all walk off together. And just the mutual respect on stage. And Jason's a funny guy. Like, sometimes it turns into more of an SNL comedy thing than anything. And Michelle is just, she's got so many stories, and she's such a sweetheart, and she's a mom. She takes care of us on the road. So, like she said, she never had any kids until this tour.
Yeah, and you know, I just talked to her the other day, and she kind of mentioned about you guys and Jason are like her kids. So yeah. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. But
yeah, well, she's got all her dogs, and she's, when she tells the story about her dogs, she's never had kids. It's like, well, until you came on tour with us.
Hey, if you could snap your fingers, go on tour with anybody, we're talking any band, who would you die to do that?
Oh, I'd probably be Blue Rodeo. I mean the Eagles for sure, but realistically, if the agent said, hey, you guys should go do a tour and you got to pick a band, whether it's Canada, U.S., U.K., I would love to do a tour with Blue Rodeo. I mean, you know, I got a funny story. We were at, I think it was either the CCMAs or the Junos. We were at an after party, and I'm standing at the bar waiting to get a beer, and Jim Cuddy's right beside me. And I'm like starstruck. I didn't even want to say anything, right? So he's talking to somebody else. I'm standing there. He turns around and he goes, oh, hey, Chris, how you guys doing? Or how you doing? I'm like, I look behind me like he's talking to somebody else. I go, good. He goes, oh, I love your band, man. All right, see you later. And I'm just speechless, right, that Jim Cuddy knew who I was. So, I think I've been to a few of their concerts, but just their music in general and their writing have always been an inspiration for me.
Well, hey, you know, speaking of writing, what about new music from you guys? Anything coming down the pipeline?
Oh, for sure. We've got a couple things actually recorded. Did a lot of recording during COVID and a lot of writing after COVID. I took a break during COVID. I actually expanded that campground that I had. It sucked because you can't go on tour and you obviously don't make any money. But, you know, after 20 years of writing, recording, touring, writing, recording, touring, to be able to spend a year with your family, I mean, I tried to enjoy that. You know, it sucked, and I didn't know how long it was going to last, and it was scary, right? But yet, I always try to find the positives in it, and I'm like, well, and you know, even the kids were mentioning, it's like, wasn't that a pretty cool year where we just got to sit at home and be together? Because once everything opens up, then it's back to basketball, volleyball, you know, gymnastics. Let's go here, let's go there. So it was a nice break. But yes, as far as new music, we definitely have a lot of stuff in the tank, and we're pretty excited to get it finished up and get it out there.
So what are you guys up to after the road trip? You got any break, or are you heading back out on tour solo?
No, I think we're taking not a bit of time off. We're probably going to do a bunch of recording in April and May, and I'll be a little bit busy because that's sort of startup for the campground, but that's not much. It's just get the water going and make sure the fridge is full of beer, pretty much. you know, just get in the studio. And then we've got a bunch of summer dates coming up. And that's sort of, the summers always just fly all over Canada and play in Calgary one night and Halifax the next, and then you're back in Manitoba, and 2 days later you're in Alberta and then BC and then back to Halifax, and then it's fun. But I think in the fall we're actually trying to get out to the East Coast with this great Canadian road trip. So and I was just talking to our agent today. I'd really like to, and I know it's still, we just got through Christmas, but you know, when you're planning ahead, I would really love to do, it's been so long, we've never really done a Christmas tour. We did a kind of a hybrid Christmas tour years ago, which didn't work out that well because half the people thought it was a Christmas tour and half the people thought it was a Doc Walker show, so we never really made anybody happy on that tour. But I would love to do just a good Christmas tour. We've done that holiday train a few times, and it was a lot of fun. But I think we're going to probably look at doing a pretty cool Christmas tour.
You guys ever feel any pressure by management or even just yourselves that, you know, oh, man, we got to be in Nashville. That's where it's happening.
No, that train passed a long time ago. You know, we tried, but, you know, Nashville's a pretty hard nut to crack. Like, you know, they want to kind of take care of their own, right? I mean, if you're a Canadian like Terry Clark and move down there or Tennille or and I mean, don't get me wrong, they deserve to be there. They're amazing artists. With us, and, you know, Emerson Drive did well in the States, but with us, we kind of walked at the beat of our own drum, and that kind of rubs people the wrong way sometimes, right? And we didn't really feel it was in Doc Walker's best interest to change who we were to be successful in a country that wasn't our home country. So we decided to really just say, you know what, this is sort of who we are. We're not going to change to be an American artist. Why would we do that? We're from Canada. We're proud to be Canadian artists, and we kind of stuck to our roots. And I'm really, really happy we did that because, I mean, it's been over 30 years and we're still playing. So longevity to me is a lot more important than one big hit.
Well, I know what you're talking about because, you know, life for many country artists from small town USA where it's, you know, seems to be drinking, hunting, fishing, riding in the pickup. Yeah. And, you know, a Canadian thing is just more small town values, life in a small town. Is that just a Canadian thing or?
Like, well, it is. But, I mean, you got to remember in Westburn, that's what we did. We drove around and fished and hunt and, you know, all these things that they're singing about. But, I mean, I wanted to sing about something different. I, you know, everybody says, hey, why don't you do like a hunt and fish and drinking song? I'm like, well, I mean, that's what I do. I don't want to write about it. I mean, I want to write about something interesting that I find interesting. I know Dave and I are the same that way. Like, you can, there's a million songs out there about pickup trucks and fishing. You know, why write another one? Just come up with something new, you know? That's all we try to do.
Well, hey, Chris, look, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. I really appreciate you for doing that. And, you know, good luck on the tour. Can't wait to see you guys on the stage.
And, you know, just make sure everybody get out there and see it. It's sort of a once-in-a-lifetime thing to have those kind of artists on stage and us up there kind of being the ringmaster. But it's like I said, we're on stage together the whole time, and the show is never really ever the same. It changes from night to night, and we're just up there to give the fans the best thing we can give them, and just it's a lot of fun.